Shalom to everybody. We are on. And today we have a continuation of the Gemara that we started seeing last time in the Talmud. Although it seems a little technical at the beginning, that's just for the first 2 minutes. Don't worry, don't run away, because Rav Kook is going to give a beautiful, beautiful explanation. Okay, so we'll put on the share screen. And we're learning the Gemara on Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Bet, that's 35b. And we're going to backtrack a little in the Gemara, in source number one. The Gemara is going to talk about when is Bein HaShemashot, when they, we spoke about last time, that there is sunset, then after a while, after about 20 minutes, there is the three stars, and in the middle is what's called the dusk. So the Gemara says, source number one, Deloach li Kohanim Truma ad Shalim Bein HaShemashot, that the Kohanim, who used to eat the Truma, the tithes that were given by all the farmers, they used to give about 2% to the priests, to the Kohanim. But if a Kohen was Tameh, was not pure, then he had to wait. He would go to the mikvah, and then he would wait until the night, until the dusk period was finished. The Rabbi Yossi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kolchav Echad Yom, Shnayim Bein HaShemashot, Shlosha Laila. Rabbi Yossi gives a interesting sign, if you want to check what are the times. He says, if you see one star, and as we'll see soon, it's talking about Beinoni, medium-sized stars. If you see one star, that means it is still day. If you see two stars, that's a sign that it's dusk. If you see three stars, that's a sign that it's nighttime. And you could begin saying Kriyat Shema. Usually on Saturday night, to end the Shabbat, we wait more than those 20 minutes. And it's a good, usually a good 40 minutes or so, that's written in the calendar, just to be safe, because Shabbat is so important. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hachi, that it's not just the Amoraim who said in the name of Shmuel, but also the Tanaim, the rabbis who wrote the Gemara, said the same idea. Echad Yom, if you see one star, it's still day. Here we're talking about the rabbis who wrote the Mishnah now. It's not just the Amoraim, not just Shmuel. Okay, so it's one star is still day, two stars it is dusk, and three stars it's already considered night. Amar Rabbi Yossi, lo kochavim gedolim anirim bayom, velo kochavim ktanim, shein nirim ela balayla, ela benonim. He said, when we're talking about one, two, three stars, we're talking about medium-sized stars, not the small ones that you only see at night, during the day, not the big ones that you see at night, but, the small ones that you see at night, the big ones that you see during the day, but the medium-sized stars. Am Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida, ha'osem melacha b'shnei bein ha'shemashot, chayav chatat miman avshach. This is what we saw last time, that if a person is driving in a car all of that dusk interim period on Friday, and also the entire dusk period on Saturday, so either Friday or Saturday, he was transgressing the Shabbat. Because that interim period, maybe it's day, maybe it's night, but if you do both sides of it, then you've definitely transgressed the Shabbat. That's what we saw last time. And here is what we're going to be focusing on tonight. You'll see soon why we went through the whole Gemara. Amar le Rava le Shame, Rava said to his Shamish, to his the guy who used to help him. Every Rosh Yeshiva has like a secretary who helps him. So he says to his shamish, Atun delokim lechu b'shiura derabanan, you who don't attend the Torah class of the rabbis that I give, Adeshimsha Aresh Dikla Atlush Raga. When you see the sun at the top of the palm trees, that's already a good time to light the Shabbos candles so that we'll have light on Shabbat. Don't wait for the last minute because Shabbat is so holy. This Shamash, who apparently is not the most learned of people, he doesn't go to the rabbi's shiur, but Rashi explains in Source 2 that Ben Hashmashot, the rabbi's class, used to be during dusk. So the rabbi is telling his servant, don't wait until I begin the class, which is dusk, but already you should light the candles, the Shabbos candles, already when the sun, even before it sets, when it is still at the top of the palm trees. Biyoma, by the way, where do palm trees grow? We know Emek Beit-Shan, Yericho, Jericho is called the city of the palm trees, and it is the lowest area in the world, not only in the country. And so the idea of when you see the sun at the top of the palm trees, you remember, the palm trees are relatively low. So this is pretty close to sunset. That is when you should already be lighting Shabbos candles. Remember, people in those days, they didn't have calendars telling you exactly when Shabbos comes in, when candle lighting is. So he gave him this sign. The Gemara asks then, "Biyom ha-mi'unan mahi?" What about when it's a cloudy day? If it's a cloudy day, you can't see the sun at the top of the palm trees. And says the Gemara, "Bimata, if you're in the city, chazi tarnagola, look at the chickens. Bidavra, if you're out in the fields, urve, look at the ravens." And Rashi explains in Source 2, you don't all have this, I add this afterwards. Rashi says, Chazi Tarnagolim, look at the chickens, Hayoshvim ala korot mibod yom, that a little before sunset, the chickens are already, apparently it's not so hot anymore, and they go and sit outside on the beams, on the fences. V'chein orvim basadeh, and also the ravens, a little before a sunset. If you don't have a calendar and you don't attend the rabbi's class, which begins at sunset and goes ben hashmashot, so how do you know how to light Shabbos candles? This is a good sign, if in case there's ever a hafsakat chashmal, a blackout, and you can't find your calendar and you can't check on the Yeshivat Beit El website what time candle lighting is. So look at the sun. And if there's no sun, look at the chickens or the birds and see when they're already begin to come out. And obviously, a calendar is a lot more exact, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. And then the Gemara continues, Inami Adani. Another possibility is look at the Adan. The Adan is a type of weed, Esev, Rashi says in Source 2. Ve'alin shelo notin letzara chama. And the leaves of this weed, they bend towards the sun. So that shacharit kifufin lemizrach. In the morning, you'll see this weed leaning towards the east when the sun rises. Ubechetziyom, in the midday, zikufin, this weed is standing upright because the sun is up straight above. Ulaerev kifufin ma'od lema'arav. And this weed, again, which follows the sun, and in the evening, you will see it already beginning to bend towards the west. So if you don't have a sun, or say there's an eclipse, and you want to know when Shabbat is, so you could look at the birds, you could look at the chickens, you could look at this weed. I didn't have a chance to check up what is the name of this weed, but what's important is what we learn from it. Now, the two questions that Rav Kook inevitably is going to have to deal with is, first of all, why is he putting down his shamash? Why is he putting down the servant? You know, the servant, okay, he's not so learned. That's why he's working as a servant. And so why does Rabbi Yossi say to him, you who don't attend the rabbi's class, you can't know when it's dusk because you don't go to the class. So what should you do? Look at the sun when it reaches the top of the palm trees. So he could have just said, you know, look at the sun when it reaches the top of the palm trees. Why does he have to put down the servant and say, you don't go to the rabbi's class? That's question number one. Question number two, I don't know if anybody was counting, but there are five different signs. How do you know when Shabbos begins? And sign number one is look at the stars. We saw a couple of different aspects of what type of stars, how many stars, but number one is the stars. Number two is look at the sun as it sets. Number three is look at the, in the city. In the city, you look at the chickens. That's number three. Number four, if you're in the fields, you look at the ravens. And number five, you can look at these weeds that bend according to the sun. Now, that's question number two. Why does the Gemara give five different signs? And Rav Kook, in source number three, in our weekly portion, again, Gershon, we have to talk about if we're going to do some kind of siyum, because next week, Bezrat Hashem, we finish the third volume of Enaya. Okay, and here is source number three. So Rav Kook brings the Gemara that Rabbi Yossi tells his shamus, tells his servant, you who don't go to the Torah class, why does he have to mention that you don't go to the Torah class? Just say, look out when the sun reaches the palm trees. Aleph, b'chol darchei hachayim, in all of the ways of life, huchnu me'et yotzer kol baruchu, God who created everything, you remember, is the same God who gave us the Shabbos, is the same God who also created the chickens, and the ravens, and this weeds, and the palm trees, and the sun. He's the same God, is the same God who created the world, is the same God who gave us the Torah 3,300 years ago. So, kol midot hakiyum v'amada haruchanit v'hachomrit lefi hamatzav. God who created everything, thought ahead, and made sure that every person, not only every person, every creature, right? We learned in elementary school the ecological cycle, how the dogs eat the cats and the cats eat the mice, and everybody has what to eat. There are those that eat meat and there are those that eat vegetables, and everybody has what to eat. And if you think about it, this is pretty ingenious. Now here Rav Kook is going to talk about the different types of people. That there are some people who are in the city, other people who are in the fields. There are some people who go to the rabbi's class. There are those more ignorant people who don't go to the rabbi's class. There are men, there are women. Everybody has their own lifestyle. And just to foreshadow, you could probably see where Rav Kook is going. The rabbis go out of their way to give us five different examples to show us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God, when He created the world, made sure that each and every person, in each and every situation, has what he needs to fulfill the Torah. Whether you're looking at the sun, or the stars, or the chickens, or whatever. Continues Rav Kook. Yesh lo gedarim. Oh, sorry. Close the share screen. Here we go again. Umisha matzavo. Again, we are in paragraph 3 Aleph. Umisha matzavo mit ale. Somebody whose situation has risen. He's a learned scholar. We all know Talmud Torah keneged kulam, that learning Torah is equated with the rest of the mitzvot put together. And learning Torah is a great reward. And learning Torah is how we give the tradition from generation to generation. And learning Torah always had a special status within the Jewish people. I just saw somebody sent me a link last Yom Shishi. It was Friday, right before Shabbat. And it was a non-Jew. I have it here if anybody wants to Google it. I thought I had it here. It is written by Debbie Jones Thornton. Yoshua, this sounds like the type of thing that would interest you. It's called Jews Who Knew. Debbie Jones Thornton. She writes in the very first sentence that she's not Jewish. But she writes, she is astounded by the success, the disproportionate success of the Jewish people in the sciences and in entertainment and really in everything. She brings a lot of interesting statistics. And she tries to figure out, where did this come from? Where does this genius come from? And obviously, there's a certain aspect of nature. There's a certain aspect of nurture. So if you look genetically, she suggests, again, this is a non-Jew from the outside, suggesting that in the Jewish world, it was always a status symbol to learn a lot of Torah and to marry off your daughters to Torah scholars. So the most intelligent were always marrying the most intelligent. Some of those who are less intelligent might not have even gotten married at all. And that is how she explains how the Jewish culture, the people of the book, how it actually even influenced our nature. But no matter how you look at it, there is a certain status, and even though Rav Kook is going to talk about the importance of the ignorant, the importance of the middle, the importance of men, the importance of women, the importance, of course, there is a special status for the Torah scholars, which is the top level, right? That is definitely true in Judaism. So, Misha Matzavo Mitaleh, somebody who has risen to the top. And by the way, statistically, Chazal tell us in the Talmud, our rabbis teach us that 1,000 go in to learn Talmud, and only one comes out successful. In other words, most people are not successful in learning the Talmud. But if a person is a Talmudic scholar, yesh lo gdarim mugbalim umeduyakim biyoter sheyuchal lagia lamitiyot hadrushot lo. A Torah scholar, that's the first 5-6 lines of the Gemara. They go into more details. Look at the stars. What kind of stars? How many stars? Big stars, small stars, medium stars. There's another opinion that's even not brought here, that of, I think it's Rabbi Yossi who says, or Rabbi Yehuda, that Ben HaShemashot Keheref Ayin is like the blink of an eye. And there are a lot of different opinions. What is this dusk period? But Rav Kook goes out of his way to say and to explain why learned people need to be the most exact. It's not enough just to say, look at the chickens, look at the palm trees, right? If you really want to be exact, I know there's a famous story where Moshe Feinstein, who is the maybe one of the greatest poskim of the last generation, one of the greatest halachic authorities, there was a older woman on the Lower East Side. He used to come over every Friday afternoon, knock on his door, and ask Reb Moshe, what time is licht? What time is candle lighting? And Reb Moshe was very patient, and every single week for 40, 50 years, he answered her question. And he didn't just say, why don't you buy a calendar? Because, like Rav Kook is saying, it takes all type of people, but oh, yeah. There's actually, rabbis have to know exactly, they can't say be'erech, because a lot of times, you ask a rabbi of a community, Rav Oad Krakover here in Kol Chava Shachar, I am sure that on most Friday afternoons, he gets these last minute questions. And sometimes it's more than last-minute questions. And his wife has already lit the candles. And my educated guess is that most community rabbis, for sure that's what I would do if I were a community rabbi, do not accept Shabbat. They daven mincha early, And then they can answer these last-minute questions. What do I do if there is a blackout? What if I do? You know, there are all these last-minute questions that people are going to ask almost until sunset, right? We mentioned last time that in Yerushalayim, the minhag is to light candles 40 minutes before sunset. In Israel, in most places, it's 24 minutes. In America, it's 18 minutes. In England, how Gershon, when in England? 18?
18 minutes.
Uh-huh. Okay, I think that's in most outside of Israel, that's the predominant minhag. But again, a rabbi has to know exactly. He can't say, just look at the chickens, or look at one of these very, how do you say, be'erech? These,
Approximate.
One of these approximates. So rabbis who are always answering these questions, they have to know exactly. And by the way, it's not just talking here about when sunset is. Most of... Maybe.
That's the way I would look at it.
Uh-huh. No, to give her the benefit of the doubt. On the other hand, like I just said before, there's a pretty good chance that Moshe Feinstein probably lit candles a lot later than most people, than most women, or didn't light candles, accepted Shabbat simply because he accepted Shabbat later in order to answer all of these last-minute questions. And by the way, it's not just regarding candles. It's in general, just like intellectual people want to be more exact. We've spoken about this once, that mankind on the macro has matured, that mankind wants to be more exact. If it used to be enough to say that, when do you say Kriyat Shema? Bikum Echa, when you wake up. Well, that was enough in the time of the Torah. But somewhere along the line, the rabbis asked, what does it mean when you wake up? So they had to be a little more exact, and they said, until the third hour of the day. And then somebody, on a later date, the machloket between the Magen Avram and the Vilna Gaon, somebody as well said, how do you figure out the hours of the day? Do you figure out from sunrise to sunset, or from... at the beginning where you start seeing light until Tzeitan Kol Chavim, the coming out of the... So these are mankind, just like today. I know this from my children, from my students, that if you ask somebody, what time is it? Somebody under the age of 20, 25 will probably say, it is 8:54. And somebody my age would probably say, well, it's 8:55, and we round things out. And a child says, why round it out? Well, it doesn't take more calories to say 54 or 55. Why don't you be more exact? And mankind is becoming more exact. And this is the way that the more learned people always wanted to be more exact. I see from questions that I answer on the website, mankind is a lot more intellectual than they were 50 years ago. And it's definitely connected with the internet and Google and education. There are a lot of different factors. But the bottom line is that mankind is rising to a higher level. Just as the Gemara says, well, the rabbis, they have to be exact. And they argue, out, you, how many stars, three stars, this type of star, that type of star, etc. Okay, paragraph bet. We'll go back to the share screen. Here we go. Umikol makom. Nevertheless, mi she'ein biyad sichlo lachdor. Move this down. Mi she'ein biyad sichlo lachdor ad onkei tohom amitiyot halalu. Somebody who isn't intellectually sharp enough, or maybe he just wasn't, he didn't have the opportunity to study on a high level. Gam lo yesh kikar rachav yadayim bamitot giluyot lechol. Gluyot lechol, shebehen yimatzei sfeko. Even if a person hasn't learned too much, there is no reason why God did not, and in fact God did, enable them to know when to accept Shabbat. So again, look at the sun. If it's cloudy, look at the chickens, look at the ravens if you're out in the fields, look at this weed. In other words, Rav Kook is beautifully explaining that the Torah was given for all of mankind, not just for that intellectual elite. V'yeda gam kein bidrachim rechavim lalecha bederach yeshara kafi ota tamtzit atzma shel adrachim arukim v'meduyakim shel rabbei kisharon v'chachmei lev. You end up getting more or less to the same point. Whether you're arguing out in the yeshiva, whether you're looking at the chickens, whether you're in nature, whether you're out in nature, where you more or less get to the same point, and that is what God wanted. Some people like this, that's how Rav Kook is explaining. Rav Kook was not putting down his servant. He wasn't saying, well, you don't go to the class, to deride him. Rav Kook is explaining that for somebody who isn't in the yeshiva and won't see that this class begins at sunset, this guy isn't in class. So how's he supposed to know? So he says, look outside. By the way, this guy's probably gathering water. That's what people used to do before Shabbat. Okay, ki etzem or ha'emet gluya l'chol ba'le einayim. Here Rav Kook is doing a play on words, and he says that the truth is seen, the light of truth is seen to all those who have eyes. In other words, even if a person might not be intellectually, he is not so learned, but you have eyes. And this is a common... Sorry? This is a common motif in the writings of Rav Kook, that the Torah is a Torat Chaim. The Torah is a living Torah, that whether you're here, whether you're there, wherever you are, the Torah is applicable. Just another example of something that most people are familiar with, even the Shiurim, the amounts of how to figure out how much do you have to eat in order to bench. So, midoraita from the Torah, it's an egg's worth, a chicken egg's worth. Most people have chicken eggs. Midrabanan, they say it is an olive's worth. Okay, so, even if you're not a engineer, you know how much an olive looks like. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that the different shiurim, this is something interesting, you might not be familiar, the measurements for halachot, in general, come either from the body, again, a tefach, right? Three tefachim is a handbreadth. Three tefachim as the halachot of Levud, regarding Sukkah, regarding Shabbat. Regarding how large tzitzit have to be. So the Gemara says, or the Rishonim say, it's an amma by amma, a cubit from the average man. That's important to know, average man. If you're a little short or a little tall or a woman, so just do a figure out. The average man, his cubit equals six fists. Now there's another measurement in the laws of Shabbat called a zeret. How much is a zeret? It's from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your pinky. And just like Leonardo da Vinci, you remember they taught us in elementary school that Leonardo da Vinci had this figured out, how exactly the body is proportioned. Chazal, more than 1,000 years before da Vinci, knew that this, the zeret from my thumb to my pinky, is half of my amma, of my cubit. And an amma is six fists. And you figure out all of these things, and you don't have to be a professor to be a good Jew. The same thing Gemara says, that many of the shiurim, many of the measurements, are from the shivata minim, from the seven species, which are very common in Eretz Yisrael. So, for example, a kli, a pot, which becomes defiled, impure, the way to make it pure is by making a pomegranate-sized hole there. Or the amount that you are not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur from the Torah is a dried date's worth. And we mentioned the olive's worth. And there, Bekitsur, every single one of the seven species, the sa'ora, the barley, there's the width of the ritzuot, of the straps that fill in, has to be at least the size, the width of a barley. Okay? Now, all of these shiurim, you could say, well, today, modern man, we could talk in centimeters, we can talk in inches. Well, the Torah had to be applicable in all generations. And this is a very important point. Everybody knows that the Torah is eternal. But the eternity of the Torah, sometimes we forget, has to go two ways. In other words, we usually think of, hey, the Torah still applies today, is still relevant today in the modern world, 3,300 years after it was given. That's pretty good. On the other hand, sometimes we forget that the Torah had to be applicable 3,300 years ago, before there were rulers, before there were digital cameras. Classic example is you look at the tefillin, the phylacteries that were found by the archaeologists in Masada, in the Dead Sea Scrolls. They could not make square tefillin as square as we make them today. Today, digital rulers are used in order to make sure that the tefillin are perfectly square. But again, the Torah is eternal, and even in a primitive world which did not have rulers or digitation, the Torah is always applicable. Not only in all time periods, but as we see in the Gemara here, for all people. Whether you're in the fields, whether you're in the city, whether you're a scholar, whether you're not a scholar. The Torah is for everybody. Okay, paragraph, going back to Ben, excuse me, share screen. Umikomakom, no, we did that. Here. Umikomakom, mi she'in biyad sichlo, lachdor ad omke tohoma mitiyot alalu. Somebody who's not learned enough or not sharp enough to get into all of these depths of the details of halachot, gam lo yesh kvar rachav yadayim, yesh kikar rachav yadayim b'amitiyot gluyot l'chol sheben yimatzei sfeiko, in order to solve all of his doubts, this we read. V'yeda gam kem bidrachim rechavim, through nature, through simply looking outside your window, lalechet b'derech yeshara, you'll know how to go in the proper way, how and when to accept Shabbat or do the other halachot, kafiyota tamtzit atzma shel adrachim aruchim v'meduyakim shel rabbei hakisharon v'chachmei halev, ve'in tzorech lehem likanes b'nivchei hamechkarim ha'amukim. You don't have to be a genius, you don't have to be a scholar to be a good Jew. Ki etzem or ha'emet gluya lechol ba'alei ha'inayim. Oh, we read this all. Ude shemishta arej dikla Atlush Raga, Rav Kook tells his servant, when the sun gets to the palm trees, that's the time to light the candles. Here Rav Kook is suggesting a new commentary on Isaiah 48, Pasuk 16. Lo me rosh beseter dibarti. Rav Kook is saying, apparently he's doing a play on words regarding the Rosh at the top of the palm trees, but he's explaining the Pasuk. God is saying, I did not speak secretly. I spoke to all of the Jewish people. At Mamad Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, 3 million Jews were there. Every single person, man, woman, more learned, less learned, the whole bell curve, right? The Baal HaTanya used to say, we mentioned it before, Tzibur. Stands for Tzadikim Benonim Urishaim, the more learned, the medium, and the less learned. And I just heard recently at the Espedim, at the eulogies of Rav Waldman, somebody mentioned, quoted Rav Levinger, that when they started Kiryat Arba, he said that it's not going to be a real city if it's just going to be religious Zionists. We need all types. We need Tzadikim, Benonim, Urashaim. And that's what a real city is, because that's what the Jewish nation is about. The Jewish nation is to bring godliness to all aspects of life. We don't have time to do it inside, but in source number 4, this is something that we learned about in the past, where Rav Kook says, Davka, the Jewish nation, is given, the Torah is given to a nation which includes all different types. Limandat, so that everybody should know, source number 4. Shelurak yechidim chachamim metzuyanim chasidim unuzerim v'anshe kodesh. Not just the upper echelons, the intellectuals, chayim bo'ori dei Elohit, live a life according to the godly ideal. Ki gam amim shlemim, entire nations, with upper class and lower class, and white collar and blue collar, and Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. That is the chidush of the Jewish nation. Rav Kook writes that individual righteous people were always around. Look at the 10 generations between Adam and Noach and the 10 generations between Noach and Avraham. We see there's Metushelach, we see Chanoch, we see Shem and Aver, Malchit Tzedek. Individual righteous people, there always were and there always will be. But the chidush of Am Yisrael is to show the world that even an entire nation, which includes all aspects of the bell curve, that we can reveal and should reveal godliness in everything that we do. So that's another point. In source number 5, Rav Kook talks about the, it's something that you should all learn when you get a chance, that it's important that the intelligentsia, and he's referring not just to professors, but also to rabbis, not separate themselves from the masses. Rav Kook writes in Orot HaKodesh, second volume, page Shin Samech Dalid, that the masses are a lot more bari. They have a healthy nature when it comes to musar, ethics and morality, when it comes to emunah. And if you look around, for example, I mentioned once, they found that more than 90% in a worldwide survey, more than 90% of mankind believes in God. Who are the other 10%? In general, they're the more intellectuals. Those are the professors. The same thing when it comes to morality. The masses have a basic, healthy instinct, what is moral and what isn't moral. And that's why just about 99% of the world and of the state of Israel came out strongly against Yigal Amir. Even if you really hated Yitzhak Rabin and you didn't like his policies and you thought he was super dangerous, a normal person knows you do not assassinate a Jewish leader. And again, Yigal Amir, Davka, because he is intelligent and he was a law student, he thought that he had to overcome his natural morality. Rav Kook is saying, telling the intelligentsia, no, do not separate yourself from the masses, because the intelligent need the masses to stay stable when it comes to belief in God, never losing their belief. Even if you can't prove it, the masses, they don't need to prove it. They know that there is a God. And the same thing regarding morality. So that's another reason why we need the masses. Another reason why we need the masses, I brought for you in Surah 6, the Gemara Masechet Sukkah, Daf Mem Gimel, and Rav Kook brings this in Arpalei Toar, that sometimes the letter of the law of Halacha is problematic. And there's no way out of solving a halachic problem. So when we had prophets, the prophets would say, okay, Hora'at Sha'ah, this mitzvah doesn't apply for the next two years. If there are no prophets, so the Sanhedrin has the power to say, okay, temporarily, we're going to put this mitzvah on hold. But what happens today, or for the last 2,000 years, when we haven't had prophets, and we haven't had a Sanhedrin, how can you make changes? Sometimes halachot simply are unlivable. Rav Kook, I wouldn't have the guts to say this. Rav Kook says, based on the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Gimel, sometimes God sends the ignorant in order to solve halachic problems, where they just don't ask questions. And the classic example was Zionism, where the non-religious, really Zionist, Zionism had to begin as a non-religious movement simply because if they asked, when they did ask the rabbis, there was a machloket. It's a new question. Should we wait for Mashiach or should we bring Mashiach? The Zionists, they just didn't ask the rabbis and they saved the show. And so that's another reason why we need sometimes even more ignorant people. And another point that I brought from Source 8, Rav Kook brings from Sefer Orot, that just like a wine needs yeast in order to ferment, so too the nation of Israel needs Rishaim. Now you can imagine that this line was pretty controversial. Why do we need evil people? Why do we need sinners in the nation of Israel? And Rav Kook goes on to say that a nation needs people who are not so just focused on spirituality, who are not just focused on the world to come, or on the revival of the dead, or on heaven or hell, but people who are in this world who have their feet on the ground, and they roll up their sleeves and build and solve problems. And they build the armies, and they revive the languages, and we need those type of people as well. To summarize, Rav Kook is telling us today that the Torah, yes, there is a special place for the intellectual people, and the masses need the intellectual people more than the intellectual people need the masses. Nevertheless, we need the masses, and that's what the Torah is also meant for, the masses. What are the points in short? Number one, that's God created a nation, which includes everyone. Number two, that we need the masses for morality and ethics. Number three, we need the masses for emunah, to keep the intelligentsia religious and believing people. Number four, we need the masses, sometimes ignorant people, solve halachic problems. And number six, the masses have a stronger drive regarding the physical world, regarding the national world, regarding security, regarding a lot of basic things that sometimes the intelligentsia have a tendency to be like space cadets and not connected enough with the world. Okay.